Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Crappy Hour, March 31st, 2025. I'm Ronnie and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Oh my God, I feel great. We just made it through 3 weekends in a row of doing live shows, flying back on Mondays to land and record episodes. It's been such a crazy 3 weeks for us, and now we're finally at the end of it. So I just feel magnificent that we made it through.
Yeah,
so great.
Too.
So fun. Oh, my God.
And it's been a whirlwind day. We did a Real Housewives of Atlanta recap. We got halfway through White Lotus on Patreon. So we'll finish that after this show. And we've just been laughing our asses off for 3 days straight. So, you know, what a life. I can't complain.
Yeah. We've had the best time. It was a great weekend. It was so fun. It was so fun, partially because I also wedged in a board game convention in the middle of it. So, you know,
yeah,
I got to do everything.
You've got a glorious sickness. I mean, your sickness is a good one. I'm like, indulge, baby, indulge. You will find fucking board gamers wherever you are.
I went out and played board after our show. I went out and played board games at a bar with people. And we played this game called Gibberers, where you have to make up a language. And we're sitting there in this bar loudly yelling, Koopa Poopaka, Koopaka Pooka, Pooka Koopaka. And people kept on staring over at us. And it was just peak nerdery. And I loved it. And to know that, like, it was just amazing. It'd be like, oh, we did this amazing crappin' show, nerding out over like Southern Charm that night, and then to go to a bar and nerd out board games. It was like the best night ever for me.
So good. All right, well, here we are with another week of some Bravo news and gossip. One of the biggest things going on this week that was pretty sad is Garcelle walked off Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She was like, goodbye. This is apparently after the reunion. The reunion begins this week for Beverly Hills, the 3-part reunion. Apparently, they all come for Garcelle because Garcelle, you know, mentioned Dorit's robbery probably being faked by PK or hinted at that or whatever. And then, you know, coming after her for mentioning Kyle's alleged lesbianism. And Sutton chose the asshole side. She chose the side of Fox Force 5, which she's never going to be a part of. So Garcelle was like, fuck you guys, and quit the show. What do you think?
That is so sad. If that is true, if that is what ultimately happened, which it probably is, that's such a bummer, because I think we've all really enjoyed Garcelle and Sutton. And Garcelle has had Sutton's back so intensely. And she's also had her back during times when, like, Sutton said problematic shit and Garcelle probably got flack for standing by Sutton. But she saw something in Sutton that was more than that, and she stood by her. And it's just sucky that Sutton wants Kyle's love and wants to be part of this clique so badly that she is going to turn her back on Garcelle. It makes me really bummed.
And Sutton's about to get a nice taste of real viewer hate as well, because she's also been protected by Garcelle in a way, because as monstrous as Sutton can be on the show, she's always had Garcelle to be like, well, she's okay. I think she's okay, which I think makes a lot of us kind of forgive Sutton. Like, well, if Garcelle thinks she's okay, you know, she must be okay. And now she fucked over Garcelle, and Sutton's really going to get a taste of that. According to Parade.com, which I don't know where this originated, but Garcelle Bouvet and Sutton Strack still not speaking after the reunion. So I guess they're done talking. So in real life too.
Listen, this is bad for Sutton, because, you know, this is how you know that the audience has turned on you. I went onto Twitter and someone wrote, like, their caption was, I love the way that she just stayed reading Sutton for filth. And it was like a clip of Diana Jenkins just going off on Sutton for like a minute, being like, who does that? Who makes fun of someone? I was bleeding. Da, 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 da. And just Diana going on and on and on. I was like, wow, if you're kind of like taking a pro Diana stance in order to like
never know. You never know when things are going to turn in the Bravo world.
You, I mean, really lost pro Diana.
I saw somebody say, bring Diana back. I was like, what in the world is happening here? That is the power that, you know, Garcelle has. I mean, Jesus Christ. But yeah, fuck Diana still. I don't care. I don't forget. Okay. Well, actually, I forget most everything, but that I'm not going to forget. Fuck that lady. And still Team Sutton in that situation for the most part. But yeah, Sutton fucked up big on this one. And meanwhile, Kyle's like, why are you bringing up my lesbian storyline? We don't do that in the LGBTQI plus community. Meanwhile, Kyle has been seen all over the place following Morgan on her international tour. They've got, you know, she's calling the Paps in Ireland. She's calling them in France. She's got them all over the place getting pictures of for sure to get pictures of her and Morgan into any sad magazine that she can. And by sad magazine, I mean all the ones that I read.
I'm just going to say this right now. I do not believe any international paparazzi care about Kyle Richards. There's no way any of them are tracking down Kyle or Mauricio or Morgan Wade, okay, without being paid or tipped off or arranged, because they've got their own British stars and European stars over there that are way more significant to them than Kyle Richards. This is totally a setup, 100%.
Yeah, I don't. No one cares about that Morgan Wade. Although Morgan Wade, you know, she's like,
yeah, I'm gonna be on your show this year. You know, I'm gonna do that to me again. I'm gonna sit there and talk about shrimp all day. Oh, wait a minute. Fried shrimp, boiled shrimp, peeled shrimp, popcorn shrimp. But she's actually done very well from this, because I see people posting all the time, hey, look, it's me at a Morgan Wade concert.
No one cared about
She's benefiting.
I'm sorry. I know that Morgan had some success or whatever, but she's gotten a huge boon from the Bravo audience. So at least get your ass on camera, ma'am, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Pay back.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing. Sutton's fucked. Sutton's fucked.
Well, so then you mentioned, I think on the show, and you definitely talked to me about it, cause I didn't actually watch it, but about Bose and was it Erica that she was on with on Watch What Happens Live? What
Happens Live, yes.
And they just were very cold, or unfeeling about the fact that Garcelle had left. And so everyone got mad at them and everyone got really mad at Bose. Well,
for those that didn't see the clip that we were talking about, Andy said, so what do you guys think of Garcelle leaving the show? And they just both, Erica sat up very straight and they just both stared straight ahead and were silent. And he's like, okay, you don't think anything of it? And they just stared straight ahead, like being really super catty, which I think the world expects from Erica, but the world does not really expect that from Bose, you know? And then Bose gave some, and Andy was like, really, you guys can't say anything? And Bose eventually gave some answer that was like, well, you know, I wish she'd stayed around to work it out, which was kind of supportive, but also kind of being like, why is she such a wuss? She couldn't, like, stick around kind of thing.
Right.
Wow.
Well, Bose, she posted the next day on Instagram. She did a thing, and she was like, to Garcelle, for your pioneering bravery and grace in 5 seasons of RHOBH, well done. I wish we had had more time together on this platform to continue showing the world that both of us can exist in the same space, which, by the way, I invented space, with different offerings and different opinions and besties, but still find a way to resolve our differences without tearing the world apart, and that we're able to shine bright together and individually too. You are leaving on your terms, and while I am disappointed by your exit, it is commendable. I'm wishing you even greater success onward. With respect always, and as evidence that I do like you sometimes, here's a picture of me and you in a yellow Jeep by a palm tree.
Yeah, and it was like page 3 of a carousel, and it was too little too late, ma'am. Sorry, but that ship had already sailed. It doesn't count when you're already in trouble with everybody. You know what I mean? This is already getting a taste of what it's like. And now people are pulling up all sorts of stuff. They're putting out, well, I'd seen these articles before about like Bose's, you know, Bose's career sucked anyway. And, you know, I don't want to go that far. I mean, I don't need to drag the woman that far. I still like Bose. You know what
I mean? Love Bose.
She came off as an asshole with Watch What Happens Live because she was, well, not because she was with Erica. She came off like an asshole on her own, but I still like her. I mean, I don't care.
You know what? Spring came a little early, which meant the bitch flower is blooming. Good for Bose. I really love Bose. I think she's a tremendous addition. I'm excited. Like, you know, she's allowed to, I think she's allowed to have these moments, because that's part of being a Real Housewife, is that you sneer on Watch What Happens Live and then it becomes a storyline for the next 9 months.
Yeah, exactly. That's the game, people. But on that same episode, Erica was like,
yeah, I just wish you would have been more interesting.
Well, like Erica, the wallpaper queen, like talking about more interesting. Well, and then she said, I mean, you're going to have to do more than buying a beach house in Bakersfield, judging it as if her ass wasn't an hour away in Pasadena half the time. And,
exactly.
Not to mention, her ass is being sued again this week for $24 million because she never turned in her paperwork. Her old lawyer in Florida, Tom's friend that's been allegedly supporting her and getting her that house in West Hollywood and all that other stuff, didn't even file the paperwork. Jim Wilkes. And so now in this Marco lawsuit, which I bring up every week on recaps to remind people that she screwed those over. She screwed these two gay guys over so bad. They had a company that produced all of her costumes. She said, never send me an invoice. I don't want to even see him. I'm that rich. Just keep going. Well, then they got in trouble with Amex because they had an unpaid bill of like $100,000 or something. And they had friends that owed them. They had a friend that owed them as a favor at the Secret Service. And literally Erica lied and allegedly lied and said that they overcharged her and that they owe her $100,000. And they ruined their lives. They ruined these guys' lives. And so they're suing her, rightly so. I hope she gets fucking taken for every, well, she doesn't have that much. I hope they literally come peel the, I hope Marco's allowed to come in and peel the wallpaper off her fucking wall of that house by the time.
Oh, but that came from Inja. How could you take away the wallpaper that I curated for her from Inja? Poor Martin Marsh-Ballard, watching his wallpaper getting peeled away, sadly. Yeah.
So the headline from The Sun is, can't hide. Erica Jayne headed to trial after she's accused of spending $24 million in ex-Tom Girardi's fraudulent funds. Now, ever since all this stuff started happening with Erica, you know, a big argument on El Internet has been, you know, how is she supposed to know what Tom was doing? Well, this lawsuit is being brought by the bankruptcy trustee, Alyssa Miller, who claims that she knew exactly what she was doing. And she can prove it. And that's how she's going to get her win. So I'm rooting for you, Alyssa. You go, girl.
You go, girl. We'll see how that one pans out. So what else happened here that was exciting? And that was the big thing in terms of Beverly Hills, right? It was Garcelle leaving. Everyone's shocked. It is kind of funny because I feel like so many people were so mean about Garcelle all season long, where they're like, you know, even me, I was like, I love Garcelle. Don't need to see, like, her personal life is kind of boring, but she's great in group scenes. And we all say that. But then the moment that she's like, well, I'm going to leave, we're like, no, don't leave. Don't leave, Garcelle. But she's gone. That's our first
thing. I don't need their personal lives to be exciting. What Garcelle was good at was calling people out and saying things that you're not allowed to say to Kyle, because Kyle, you know, is always protected and Garcelle doesn't care. She's like, so are we talking about this lesbian storyline or not? Are you just going to parade it to People Magazine for money and your other show on Netflix, but not give it to us? Give it to us, which I liked, and calling Erica out and all that other stuff. So, you know, I think she was good at that kind of stuff. So I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss that voice on the show for sure.
Yeah, she was really good at calling people out.
But other stuff going on, some Jersey stuff. Is that where you're going to? Sorry, I thought you were
I was gonna go
bring stuff up. You don't.
I was. I know. Well, you know, that's Watch What Happens. That's how we do things here. So, no, the reason why is because I keep on looking at this one link that's really small gossip, but I keep on looking at it about Brooke Mueller being upset that she wasn't paid for Denise Richards' reality show. Can you tell me? I can't imagine anyone was paid for that show. It is the most like, this is a show about people who were on something like on episodes of things in the 90s. And like now they're playing guitar and just like in the fringes of Hollywood being like, I'm still here. I don't think anyone's getting paid on that show.
Yeah, but it's especially kind of grody for Brooke because Brooke, like who's calling Brooke? You know what I mean? I think with the show like Denise is, it's like, yeah, I'll come on your show, you know, you'll publicize your cooking show and then I'll publicize my cooking thing. Or like Tori Spelling's like, I'll publicize my podcast and, you know, whatever. And then Kathy Hilton's like, well, I'll try and make America forget that I sent my daughter to a prison camp or whatever. You know, like everybody gets something out of it. It's like why you guest on another podcast. You know, you're trying to help each other out. But Brooke is like, I wasn't paid shit. She's not even calling me back. Brooke, you went to rehab and left your 10-foot lizard at her front door. And she took care of that and built it a huge cowboy pioneer city to live in.
Give it little hats. She gave Godzilla little hats. I mean, I kind of feel like the moment you drop a lizard on someone's doorstep and then have them take care of it for 9 months while you're in rehab, I think that is the payment. I think it was paid in advance. She took care of two of your lizards, Charlie Sheen and Gizmo.
You know, or Gizmo, or Godzilla, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it, Brooke. Yeah, she's saying that Denise isn't calling her back. Denise is probably isn't calling her back because Denise probably put the phone into the standing mixer and like, well, it's in the past now.
Denise has been answering a banana. Okay, she doesn't mean any harm.
Sorry. I couldn't reach the phone because Aaron was using it to look up videos of Brooke Williamson. It's his hall pass. He's really upset now that she's dating Bobby Flay, which is other, I guess. Technically, that's Bravo gossip.
Yeah, I don't care, Brooke. Try harder. You know, you're lucky somebody pulled you out of your house and like put you on a TV show that you're so charismatic on. Saying, hey, it's me, Brooke. Hi, my lizard's dead. Oh, and then Brooke just shows up and then she's like, my lizard's dead. Will you guys have a funeral for it? Do it. Like, well, yeah. She's so entitled. She just comes in and makes them throw a lizard funeral. You know, she doesn't do it herself.
Yeah, that wasn't free. Getting those frames. Frames are expensive. Okay. Yeah. I guarantee that whatever she would have earned on this reality show would not have covered the cost for half of those frames. Okay. So I don't want to hear it, Brooke.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Have you ever wondered how a circus performer could become the most powerful woman in the Byzantine Empire?
Even the Royals is a podcast from Wondery that pulls back the curtain on royal families, from ancient empires to modern monarchs, to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
Before she ruled an empire, Theodora was a teen sensation in circus shows, featuring dancing bears, burlesque performers, and blood-soaked chariot races. But when her star came crashing down, she clawed her way from rock bottom to the very top, using everything from comedy to espionage to get there.
Empress Theodora didn't just survive. She revolutionized women's rights across the Byzantine Empire, like changing laws to let women divorce men, own property, and bring abusive men to justice. For all her work in pioneering, she's remembered as the most powerful Byzantine empress in history.
Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Even the Royals early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's do some Real Housewives of New Jersey because I miss that show. I do not want that show recast at all because I thought it was a great season. I don't care if they all hate each other. I don't care if it's toxic. I say bring somebody in from Jersey Mike's and throw them in there as the cast and let's watch them go. But
Jersey Mike's,
they're still on pause. And so Bethany was saying something about, you know, she was dissing it. Basically, she was weighing in on Teresa and Louie's messy financial issues, which we'll get into in a minute. And then kind of going off like Jersey's kind of trash, you know, it's like a trashy show. And a quote from Bethany is,
yeah, you go on that show, like you have no money if you're like kind of like, you know, you're like, it's a trash dumpster fire of a show. You know, like she's actually to be. Oh,
and then so. She was saying the stuff. So then Dolores went on Two Teas in a Pod because, you know, there's different people covering while Teddy's out. And she was like, yeah, you know, I heard this. She's calling us a trash dumpster fire. You know, to me, this girl's a dumpster fire, okay? She's a broken, broken girl. I don't remember her because, you know what? She's rememberable, which is such a Dolores thing to say. I remember her because I'm an empath, and I felt shit energy from her, you know? That's why. And to knock the same platform that made her, it made her trash, broken.
I don't want to say things I can't take back, but I'm just going to say it. She's a slob. There. I'm sorry. Sorry, I should have warned you. If there were children in the room, I apologize. She's a slob.
I just like Bethany trying to come for people that she can't come for. But speaking of two T's in the pod, have you seen all this stuff with Teddy? You know, Teddy, and God bless her, in both ways, you know, the good way and the bad way. But Teddy has, like, brain cancer and is going through all of this shit. She's going through, like, some serious stuff. And so Teddy's been getting a lot of goodwill, I think, from everyone, from the audience, from her fellow Bravo people, and rightly so. You know, that's a huge deal, like multiple brain tumors and stuff. Well, Teddy comes back to her show and starts naming a list of all the people who haven't been calling her with cancer. Teddy, really? You're gonna do that? Like, you've got all this goodwill, Teddy. Just stop. Please don't do this. She's like, let me tell you who else didn't call me about my cancer. Dorit Kemsley. And she's like shaming people. She's got like a cancer call list that she's putting up for people to go after. That's just rank, Teddy. Stop that.
Well, I mean, actually, like, she just did Dorit a favor, because the whole fight with Dorit and Kyle at the beginning of the season was Dorit claiming that she wasn't as close with Teddy. And she's like, see, I didn't know. I don't even call her for cancer. So there. Did her a solid. You backed up her story.
But how is Teddy like the only person in the world to like blow a cancer storyline? Like, you finally got everybody's goodwill on the internet. This has literally never happened, and you blow it within a week? Come on, girl. But still, get better. She's probably going through a lot with trauma. And,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
Lord knows what's going on. But I just thought, God, that's just so Teddy, you know? God bless her.
Yeah. God, I didn't realize you did that. That's wild.
Ridiculous.
So speaking of Teddy's time on Beverly Hills, we have news from the world of Lisa Rinna. Lisa Rinna, who is really trying to do the whole fashion thing right now. So Rinna blames the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills viewers for her exit after feeling like they turned on her. We don't turn on people for funsies. Well, I guess sometimes we do that, but like, we turn on people for good reason. So she was saying in Deadline that she was a fan favorite when she joined the show, but by the end of her run, Rinna felt like the viewers were not supportive of her anymore. Yeah, because you were like co-signing these awful people, and you were trying so hard to be Erica. Rinna stopped being herself. Rinna stopped being the Rinna that we fell in love with, or at least that I fell in love with. Rinna was like, I'm going to be just like Erica. So she tried doing Erica's cold ice cream, mean girl fashionista thing, but like, it barely works for Erica. And so now it like definitely did not work for Rinna. And she just came off as kind of like nasty and unpleasant. And then she's shocked that if you act nasty and unpleasant and say, fuck him, I don't care about them, that people would be like, fine, we don't care about you.
Yeah, let me make it simple for you, Rinna. You were an asshole, okay? You're an asshole, and people turned on you and called you an asshole. If you don't want to be called an asshole, don't be an asshole, okay? And this is a perfect example of her being an asshole. She's like, I will never talk about Housewives again. I won't do it. I'm beyond that now. I'm a fashion woman now. I'm in fashion. Garcelle! But she immediately needs to try selling her podcast to people, because who really wants to hear about her talking about her like Afro-pubic hair with her husband? Not me. I don't. Nobody wants to hear that. So now she's having to dredge all this stuff back up and go on every podcast in the world and act like a victim. Girl, you're not a victim. You did it to you, okay? You are the villain in your own life. Now, please stay away.
She said, everybody got real comfortable behind their computers saying anything. And the fans were the ones that ran me off that show. It wasn't Bravo. It wasn't the girls. It was the fan base. They villainized me in a way that I just didn't want to live like that anymore. And that is the truth.
No. Well, let me tell you. Oh, no. Go ahead. So I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to be like,
I thought that.
was a period.
Well, first of all, you've been in this business a long time, and like you've never let the fans run you off of anything. And second of all, I don't know. I had a great second point, but I'm tired. I flew on a plane this morning.
That's you. Why? I'm so sorry.
No. I had a note. It was she's being silly, and you know what? It wasn't you. It was your behavior. I was a big Rinna fan. I loved Rinna. You go back to the Rinna seasons, her first season, when people were angry at her for calling out Kim Richards, saying it was out of place. And you'll hear me on this podcast defending Rinna. I've always loved Rinna. I actually, guess what? Here's the crazy part. I still love Rinna. I think Rinna's great, but she just was an asshole, and she needed to have a timeout, and that's okay. But like, you also have to understand, like, you just were. You kind of abandoned who you were, and we didn't like it. So that's that. Yeah.
You're a dick. So, not you, Ben. Lisa Rinna.
I'm a dick.
Lisa Rinna, you're a dick.
All the truth comes out.
And now for a headline that I never saw coming. I did not ever think in a million years this was going to happen. Uh-oh. And I've been really upset about it all week.
No.
Mortgage mayhem. Real Housewives of New Jersey star Teresa Giudice's husband, Louis Ruelas, begs lender for more time to pay back $1 million loan and asks for $250,000 more. Say it ain't so.
No.
They haven't been. They bought a mansion, $3.5 million in Montville. Oh, my God. Scrolling past the Louis purple-faced pictures.
Are you on
the... Funny. I forgot how purple he is. Jeez,
he gets, an eggplant. He gets more and more purple. Yeah. He is a purple person. Purple, yeah, breathe. They owe a lot of money.
So the U.S. Sun previously reported Louis, or Luis, before he met Teresa, was the sole owner of the LLC used to buy the house, took out a $1 million loan on March 25th, 2024. The U.S. Sun can now exclusively reveal Louis is requesting an extension on the loan and for $250,000 more. The $1 million loan, blah, blah, blah. He's screwed. The final, it's due March 25th. So he's kind of screwed. And doesn't Teresa owe taxes too? What's happening with Teresa's life?
They're a disaster. These two people are a disaster. And this is the most predictable outcome that could have ever happened for these two. The fact that he works in real estate, does he not? And yet he doesn't understand how to set up his finances to pay his own bills. Come on now. This guy is a crook. He always has been. And I guarantee he's going to try to auction off Nono's pajamas to try to get some money to fund this. And it's not going to work.
There's another article in Yahoo with Gia, because Gia's going to have a show on Bravo. Guys, don't be mad at me, but I'm not going to be a lawyer anymore. I'm going to be an influencer, okay? So whoever's listening to that.
You know, actually, I have to say, you know what, Gia, I think it's great that you're following your dream of being an influencer instead of an immigration lawyer, because thankfully... No immigrants really need lawyers right now. So you're doing great work. And I hope you can really, you know, I hope you enjoy shilling that lipstick tonight.
I decided I was needed more in the Amazon, you know, stretchy pants category. So that's what I'm going to be doing from now on, guys. So she's out there trying to do damage control, but it's Gia. Like, so it doesn't really work. She's just like, guys, it's all overblown about my mom. She's doing fine. Meanwhile, documents allegedly detailed that Teresa owes $303,889.20, while Ruelas owed $2.6 million. I like him. They round up, but her, she's like, plus 20 cents. And don't you forget it.
That 20 cents is going to be the thing that breaks. She's going to come up 20 cents short. I'm sorry. I'm still laughing at Gia doing the most predictable thing, which is not going to law school, not finishing law school, because she probably thought all immigration law cases were going to be like things like with her dad, like just a guy, just some guy in prison who's got a family who does, you know, who does random kung fu, who gets deported to Italy and she's going to fight for all those men getting deported to Italy. And then she finds out that actually it's much, much, much harder and much more serious than the Joe Giudice case.
And I just wanted to be a lawyer in the first place so that my dad could get back home and Melania could shave his back right, because he doesn't get it shaved right any other place. So he learned about waxing, so I dropped out. I don't need to do it no more. Bethany Frankel, who rose to fame as an original blah, 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 said,
oh my God, Teresa, say it ain't so. I can't believe you ended up with another guy with money problems.
For Bethany Frankel, for someone who wanted to take down reality TV and wanted to have a reality reckoning, she seems to watch a lot of it. She seems to be really have her really be occupied with the headlines and the gossip happening in the world of reality TV. So,
well I think she dropped that whole.
I think it went from reality reckoning to reality beckoning because she is obsessed.
Can't make up her mind. Yeah. So I think she dropped that whole thing. Now she's back in it. No Bravo fan ever leaves. You know, we can say, I'm sick of this. That's always cracked me up in Bravo threads, because every season of every show, there's people like, I am done with this show. Currently, it's Garcelle. Like, I will never watch this show again without Garcelle. I am leaving. And then you see their ass the next season being like, I'm such a bitch. Like, you never leave. You're stuck here forever. Okay. You are Bravo fans. We never die.
Yeah. Well, my brain just farted. Well,
not as much as Gia's. Gia's had a lot of quotes this week. So Gia was like, thanks a lot, Bethany Frankel. As a mother with daughters, you say that about someone. Well, I hope the TikTok check is worth it.
You literally are giving up your law career to get a TikTok check. Why are you shading someone for that? This is why you're not going to make a good lawyer. You make a terrible case.
Or Bethany making a case against people choosing bad men. You know what I mean? But hey, listen, if I could only judge things I was qualified to judge, I wouldn't have a job. So yay for judging things we don't understand.
You know, speaking of Bethany Frankel, I would love just to check in on one of Bethany's former colleagues, Rachel Levis. Because I see that there's a headline you put in here that says Vanderpump Rules alum Rachel Levis is now a professional sound healer, which makes sense because she does sort of sound like some piece of like earthenware with a mallet going around it in circles. So I guess it's yet another Bravo star decides to drop their noble plans, in this case of working with special needs kids. She's like, I was gonna work for special needs kids.
I'm gonna fix autism with a sound bath. Dong.
I mean, literally, finally we get to hear the sounds inside Raquel's head. Dong. So,
and what is it with James's girlfriends always needing to go into like some flaky space, you know? Like, she's doing sound baths. Allie is an astrology reader or whatever. By the way, I heard that she's going to do a podcast for her astrology stuff, which will be cool. Cause you know, I'll listen to it. I'll call it flaky, but then my ass will be there listening every episode.
I'm like, you're like, what door am I in? What door is my son in? Is my son at the door? Can my son and my moon get DoorDash?
Okay. So let's see. What else do we have here? More Erica Jane stuff.
Okay. I'm going to say something right now. So I was on the plane. And I went onto Facebook, and first of all, the Facebook algorithm is fucked. Okay, I should leave Facebook just for doing this for me. They were like, suggested follow Kim Zolciak. And I was like, how dare you? But of course I looked, and Kim Zolciak has a photo with her two boys, who I thought were twins, but they're just twin-like because they're 12 and 13. And we saw these kids were born. I feel like it was just like 5 years ago, but they are now 12 and 13. They look like they're 24. They are both 6'1", and they have the awful teenage hair already, and they are really into football, and they'll probably become football players. But I am I am shooketh by the size of her children. And I texted Ronnie.
Those are gigantic children. Those are Texas-sized children. It's like when I come back home to Texas and everybody's like 7 feet tall suddenly and like gigantic. What the hell?
Yeah, this was like this. You know what? The Monsanto stuff has to stop because these children are they're too tall to be too tall. So, I'm reflecting, like, I cannot believe these kids are already this old. It's wild. And at the same time, Ryan and I both texted and we both were like, yes, they look exactly, these kids are exactly how we expected them to be. Like, no one's surprised. And yet it is shocking all at the same time.
Haven't heard of any gay bashings or anything like that, or you know, like,
yes,
good. Like they haven't joined the Proud Boys or whatever. I don't think so. I mean, that's good. They're so far they're doing better than I thought. Of course, they have that fucking broccoli hair, which I can't.
Yeah, the broccoli hair.
Five guys with that today, and I was like, you would be so handsome if you just dropped the broccoli hair.
Just drop the brock, you know. I just had to reflect on the fact that her kids are huge now, and it's really unsettling to me. Also, this is just nice news, I guess, but I think that Roni won a GLAAD Media Award. So that was nice. Congratulations.
Really, have we fallen that far, gays? Really? Come on, man. Even the gays are supporting that? No, because there's gay people in it. I get it. So we're going to give them an award. That show sucks. How about we have an award for a show that deserves their gay people to be on a better show? Okay. I'll support that award.
Well, RuPaul's Drag Race and Roni both won. I guess congrats. And I'm also like sad, like couldn't we have been more entertaining if we were going to be up for a GLAAD Media Award? I mean, hello, can we have more fun over there, please?
Remember when being gay used to be fun? Now we're celebrating the new Real Housewives of New York. What are we even sucking penises anymore? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Erin, by the way, had her baby, so mazel tov to Erin. cackling baby. So she had a baby, so that was another piece of news. But again, there's nothing really to talk about there, except these things are things that happened. Lisa Erin's Barlow
still polluting the world, okay? Yeah, here's another one. Lisa Barlow is taking vocal lessons, you guys. It's huge. And thankfully, it was an exclusive from Distractify. Okay.
Distractify is also the thing you have to do when you hear Lisa Barlow sing. I need to distractify myself away from this noise right now.
Distract, I feel like I'm going to die. So Lisa Barlow eyeing a music career in an exclusive interview with Distractify to promote her partnership with Clorox. This is what we're doing now. This is what we're doing now. I'm here to promote Clorox, but while I'm here, I want to talk about my music career. We're going to need that for our ears, girl.
This is getting very much into Drew Sidora territory. You know, like, she's like, so I had one of the people at Clorox produce my new album, and they're also giving me vocal lessons.
This is a sentence you can only read in a Real Housewives article. To promote her partnership with Clorox, Lisa reveals she's taking voice lessons and will be ready to take the stage soon. I'll tell you who's going to take the stage. Me. I'm going to find out what stage you're going to be on, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to dismantle it to save the drums of the people that are about to be subjected to that. Please stop. Stop vocal terrorism. And I say that as a yeller who's yelling in people's ears right now.
Erlanda in the comments says, do we need this right now? And the answer is yes. Have you seen the headlines? I will take Lisa Barlow singing on behalf of Clorox any day over any headline I have to read in the real world. Thank you very much. And also thanks for Emma for joining us tonight.
Housewives love competing on the Traitors. Is she doing that? Is she interested in doing that?
Well, please, I would love to bring every Clorox disinfecting wipes with me because I heard accommodations are a little rough. So yeah, you know, I would consider it with Clorox. And if I was asked, I think it would be an honor, you know, and it's just amazing. I live on Diet Coke, peanut M&Ms, and Kit Kats. So I'll bring those with me.
This is Lisa Barlow at the Traitors Roundtable. Okay, this is actually like really upsetting me right now, because for you to say that I'm like a traitor and like I am like literally like the most honest person you've ever met in your life, and like it's like really, really upsetting to be like, oh, like I'm just like why would you even say those things? Like, excuse me, you're the one who said that before me. It's just like a lot right now.
Her commercial acting is so funny.
Oh my God, thank God today I have a Kit Kat bar in a frosty. It is so delicious. It is the only thing I am living for. Did we get it? Did we get it? Are we done?
Like, we're still rolling, Lisa. This is a Bravo commercial. We're not doing another take.
Is anyone else on that cast doing commercials? Because she seems to have like all, like she had one commercial. What was the commercial? She's like in the woods and she's making two guys. It's like famous people, like from Bravo, right? They're doing something and she's like, hey guys, can you cut down that tree for me? I don't know. It's something
isn't it
like that.
Jesse? Isn't it Weston Jesse from Summer House that she's in a
commercial? Yes, that's what it is. That's who it is. Famous guys, quote unquote.
There are weird Bravo commercials happening where Dorinda's driving in like a, what is she driving in that commercial with the chick from Sold on SLC? Where she's like,
well, I'd love to look at the house in Salt Lake City, but I'd really love this Lyrique car.
God, that gamble on Jen Yao really did not pay off for that commercial. Which is a shame.
Yao was going to have more staying power than that. But
we have a question. Ben and Ronnie, will y'all sign my Linda Ronstadt tape and Les Mis albums when I meet you in Dallas? I would die happy.
Oh, hell yeah. You gonna get me not to sign? Try and stop me from signing a Linda Ronstadt album?
Well, you think he means cassette. He actually has some specific Linda Ronstadt branded masking tape that he's just going to pull out a strip and be like...
Okay, Andy Cohen on offering Paige DeSorbo and Lindsay Hubbard a spot on the Real Housewives of New York cast. Basically, he didn't. He just
sat
on the show. I brought it up at a meeting one time, and so now everyone's like, oh my God, Lindsay and Paige are going to be on New York.
Yeah, they're never going to do that. It's just, I just don't think you can cross those paths in that way. It's just, it's too weird. It's too much of a youth oriented. You can't go from the youth oriented shows to the Housewives, even though they may be appropriate ages, you know, or like Lindsay is definitely age appropriate for Real Housewives, which is crazy, but it's just, it's not going to work. We need, people are in their lanes and they just can't hop the lanes. It doesn't work for us. Doesn't work. Well, Phaedra's been able to hop around, but that's because she went away from Real Housewives, then did Traitors, and then Traitors allowed her to come back to Married to Medicine, but Married to Medicine has always been kind of like an alternate Real Housewives. So then now she's come back to Atlanta. So it all, yeah, no. My answer is no, and it makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, but they need to do something with that show. I don't know if this is it. I wouldn't mind if they were on that show. I mean, they need something, but I would love to
see do something
against those girls.
Lindsay, I would like to see anyone. I want to see anyone go against those girls. It's like we need to give Jessel some support because she needs to be she is like the only funny, truly funny one on that show. And so she needs to be in there, like front and center. We need to we need to take Erin out of the center of the show. Like she's way too central to the show and not entertaining enough. And now that she has a baby, she's going to be like, my life is just like vomit in my hair. And like diarrhea because of baby. It's like, wow, congratulations for that insight. You know, she and Abe have a new.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, she and Abe have their new podcast called Come Together. Get it? Like, oh, no, I don't want to.
I will never come again. My follow up podcast to that is I will never come again. Gross. But yeah, those two. What was I going to say about? Oh, Aaron's next storyline is going to be like tariffs. I mean, like, if you're going to put tariffs on things, don't do it on mezcal. I'm trying to bring it to America. I'm trying to help my country. I can't believe I live in a world where I have to see fucking Aaron on CNN talking about tariffs. Like, just stop.
No.
This world is crazy enough. Get Aaron off my fucking news, please.
Yeah. Thomas in the comments says, Ben, don't be so rigid. It's never been tried. I agree. I'm down for experimentation, but like New York is really stinking right now. And I don't want to spoil premium stars on Roni. I would rather them find new people. Just do do your job, Bravo, and find interesting people. You don't have to take another franchise.
Yeah, the idea that's been floating around the internet is just do a Valley in New York. You know, just take all the people, the older people from Summer House and stuff like that, and put them on a new show and call it. You know, someone online here is saying the District in the comments are saying call it the District or something. The District. You know? I agree.
Call it the Island, and it all takes place in Staten Island.
Yeah. And Lindsay got really annoyed when the guys were suggesting, like, why would Lindsay come back? I mean, she can't come back. She's going to have a baby next year. She got all mad. She's like, I am a pioneer of Summer House and I will be back with my baby. Like, she got all upset. But the truth is, no one wants to see you on that show with your baby. No one wants to see it. Now, I would totally support you just leaving your baby every weekend at home. And then coming and getting shit faced and partying anyway, because I believe in leaving your baby. Look, make them stronger, you know, leave it on a doorstep somewhere. Show how the other half lives. So I would support that, but she'll need something to do. So I wouldn't mind if she was on New York, but you know what? We don't have to.
You know what? I think actually, if anything, if they wind up, like if they wind up cutting some people out of Jersey, I mean, Margaret Josephs lives in Jersey, but like Margaret Josephs would actually, I think, cut it up pretty well with Roni. The problem is that like there is an age gap and I don't know if they would be able to like, I don't know if the younger women would be able to handle Margaret Josephs. They'd be like, can you believe it? Can you believe what she said? And Margaret would be like, hey girlfriends, what's going on over here in Manhattan? What are you talking about? You guys have sex? You put anything in this bottom? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, okay, you want to order something? You want to order Diet Coke or something? I was talking to Serena in Tenafly and she says you guys are having a lot of sex. Tell me everything about it. You want some Snickers creamer? I'll get it for you.
So for this last section, I just want to talk a little bit about Atlanta because we just did a recap. So we just talked about it a lot, but I want to hear what you guys have to think or what you guys think about Atlanta. Well, first of all, great news for a terrible person. Star Kenya Moore's ex Mark Daly hit with eviction lawsuit over $5,000 a month, Brooklyn home. Bye. Goodbye, sir. You deserve nothing less. Nothing less. Yeah. I hope that's the least of your worries, you fuck. Okay. But beyond that, this was the week that started the Britt versus Kenya fight on Real Housewives of Atlanta. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, Britt is just trying to start shit with Kenya so she can make a name for herself. She's pretty trashy, in my opinion, Britt. She's a tryhard. She got a terrible nose job, so she literally talks like this because she can't breathe out of her nose and almost chokes on a fly today in this week's episode, who's trying to retaliate against her blocked canals. So anyway, she's trying to start with Kenya. It's not really working. Kenya's not giving, she's not paying her any dust. So this lady just goes off the handle and says, well, I brought my pistol. So what do you think of this? People are pretty pissed off on the internet because they feel like Kenya got fired for next week's revenge porn episode, which we still haven't seen, obviously. But why wouldn't they punish Britt over basically threatening someone with a firearm? Is that what we really need on Atlanta? Ben, give us your thoughts.
Yeah. I think, well, first of all, I would say I'm not going to like weigh in yet about whether Kenya should have been demoted or fired until we see next week. When we really see like how bad was it, because it could be bad. It could be really bad. In terms of Britt with the gun thing, I think like, you know, was it exactly like technically threatening violence? You could make an argument like she was just posturing, but I think it was gross. And I think it's also like, I think it's actually beneath Bravo's brand. Like Bravo doesn't like, Bravo is trying to show, you know, wealthy, like upper class or like nouveau riche attempting to be upper class women. And so when you have someone talking about like, I've got a pistol at home, technically Marlo would talk about her guns too. But I just think it's, I think that Britt,
well, she would think she has a pistol with her, I think. She says, I've got my pistol.
Oh, I thought she meant she has them in general, not like she has them here.
Maybe I heard it
wrong. Either way, I think we all agree. Like, Britt was so thirsty for a fight, so thirsty for a moment. We all recognize it. Kenya recognized it. Kenya calls her out for it. And, you know, you guys will hear, we just recorded our recap before this. I don't know if it's already up or if it's coming up soon. It just went up. Great. We had a lot of fun with it. But Britt is like a whole bunch of different things at once. on the one hand, she's trying to make a splash on reality TV, which she's doing in the wrong way. So she's trying desperately to have a fight, and she's going after the big dogs, as Heather Gay would say. So she's trying. It just is really thirsty and really pathetic, and not in a funny way like Brittany Bateman. And then you also have that she's like a very insecure person, and so like she's meaning like, why aren't you hugging me? Why aren't you hugging me? I'm just a pet. Why aren't you hugging me? Which is like so sad and so pathetic that you have to like be caught on camera saying such things. Like really, like have some more self confidence. And then third, she's also easily triggered. I mean, you see Kenya, all she says is queens don't hang out or talk with peasants. And she's like, oh, I'm a peasant. And then for the next like 10 minutes of the show, she's like, she called me a peasant. Like, I know you're eager to start a fight, but you also have to have thicker skin. And I think that she just totally failed her first big test. And I think we're all on Kenya's side right now. And we're going to see what happens next week, because we may all be like, okay, maybe even being on Kenya's side, that was too far. But for right now, it's making me upset that Kenya's not going to be on the rest of the season.
You know, I actually am Team Kenya on this. I'm not often Team Kenya, but the thing that pisses me off, and I see it a lot in the comments here, is that Kenya just doesn't ever, she just always goes too far. You know what I mean? Like, what she does next week is just like, why'd you do that? You let this girl win. You let this trash win. This girl sucks. I mean, look, this girl was trying really hard. She was doing like a monologue about how she's going to kick Kenya's ass, and going on and on and on. And she's annoying. I mean, her worst crime, beyond the gun and all that, because that stuff was all trash, but her worst crime is just being bad at this. You're not entertaining. You're not fun. You're not funny. You're not cute. Like, you, and I don't mean physically. I just mean she's just not good. She's bad at it. You're badly casted. You're just bad. So that's her worst crime. But then Kenya couldn't just let this girl fail on her own. She had to go to this whatever revenge porn. I don't even know if it is revenge porn, because isn't revenge porn when you have a picture of somebody that you've
we don't really even
having sex. I don't even know what the real definition
in my mind is, I'm not even like, there's been a lot of talk about what happened, but we don't really know. We won't really know what happened at this party until next week.
Well, they kind of
people have been saying revenge porn because Kenya, they're saying that Kenya brought out photos of Brit, I guess, blowing someone or something like that. And it was already on the internet. But I guess the idea that she presented photos of Brit, like, you know, in a sexual act against her consent, right, is therefore qualifies as revenge porn. To, you know, I don't know what the actual
hair care party. I mean,
yeah, I don't know what the legal, the true legal limits and, you know, what the rules are truly for that. But I think that's how that got entered into the mix in the conversation. But we'll just have to see what it is a bummer, though. It is a bummer, though, that like clearly Kenya crossed a line, because Bravo lets a lot of stuff slide, to be honest. And if even Bravo wasn't going to let the slide, then she really messed up. And that bums me out, because also it's like you said many times on the recap, it's a bummer to think that Brit is the one who gets to take out Kenya. You know, that's a bummer.
Yeah, and that's the biggest problem. Like, I'm sitting here saying you're bad at this to Brit, but Kenya, you should be better than this. Like, you've been in this long enough to know you cannot do that shit and get away with it. So I'm on Kenya's side this week, but I'm ultimately disappointed that she sucks, because she's actually fun to watch this season. I mean,
she's great. I would love to hear from
having
people.
Her back. I think it's like perfect. The perfect casting of having the old cast with the new cast is like
a good
blend. And it's going to suck to not have her there. So
I would love to hear from people when we start going, when we go to bring people up, or just even in the comments. I would love to hear what you guys are thinking about the new Atlanta season, because I haven't really checked in to see where people are standing on it. I am really, really digging the new season, but sometimes I get like, I whip myself into a gay frenzy where I'm like, iconic mother. And then I look at everyone's like, it's boring. So it's not going to change my opinion, because, you know, we all have our own opinions, but I would love to hear what you all think about it. So,
yeah. And for the next 10 minutes or so, we will be talking to you guys on camera. The link is in the comments. For those of you listening on audio, thank you so much for being here. We'll be here in another couple of weeks at 5:30 on Monday Pacific time. We'll talk to you next time. For those of you who want to stay and talk on camera, stick around. For everybody else, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Ringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Annie.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.